everybody jump, jump, jump.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. It's a Tuesday. Taz and the Moose with you right here on CBS Sports Radio as we come to you live from the Rocky Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams. With their help, they can help you too. Rocky Mortgage. Push button. Get Mortgage. Mike Pete across the way. Bogus, your updates. To 9 a.m. Eastern time we go. A.J. Hawk will join Taz and myself. Top of the hour number two. What's going on, Taz? Good morning, brother. How are you?
Good morning. Yes. Good morning, Moose. Good morning. Yeah, good morning to everyone in the world. Yeah, this is great. Good morning, everybody here. And, yeah, looking forward to another Tuesday edition here of Taz and the Moose. It's going to be great. We're going to have a lot of fun. Looking forward to talking to our friend A.J. Hawk later, like you just mentioned. So it's going to be great.
It's going to be a good show. Good show. Plenty of your calls at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227.
Attention hotline fans.
And thank you, Mean Gene. And as we were watching last night, the Monday night game and the demolition of the Los Angeles Rams by the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, maybe I was wrong to stand the fort last week in terms of Russell Wilson being the MVP of the league because Lamar Jackson was, I mean, fantastic. Youngest quarterback ever to have 5 touchdown passes in a Monday night game. You look at it, nearly runs for 100 yards on the ground. They scored a touchdown on every single one of the offensive possessions that he was in the game last night. They destroyed Wade Phillips' defense. He is unbelievable right now. And that Baltimore Raven team, I mean, they're running the football like it was Barry Switzer in Oklahoma. I mean, that's the way they're doing it right now. I mean, it is crazy with what they're able to do now with running the football on the ground.
Look, you just said it, man. I mean, it's... I don't know how you, I don't
looking
know
for Jamel Holloway somewhere.
I don't know what's going to stop this offense. What Lamar Jackson, Ingram is just playing with so much of a confidence, and he's got such a bond with Jackson. You could tell that offensive line they just move bodies out of the way quickly and intensely and angrily. So they are unreal. 45-6. What a beating over a team that was in the Super Bowl last year, that was at home in Los Angeles, and a team that everybody, if anybody even met the head coach McVay once, they'd get the head coaching job. I'm obviously exaggerating. So everything was great and rainbows and butterflies with the Rams this year. The greatest thing ever, the greatest team ever, the greatest coach ever, the greatest this ever. Well, they're 6-5 right now, but more importantly, they got punked out, beat up, and embarrassed on Monday Night Football. You know, by a kid that wasn't getting a lot of love, even though he won a Heisman. When he came out of the draft, everybody thought that Lamar Jackson was going to be El Stinko. And oh, God, that's far from it.
Oh, far from it. And, you know, there's been a number of pieces in terms of the work that he put in order to get to where he is and what he did over the course of the offseason, Taz. It's really a testament to him, you know, improving his accuracy, improving his throwing motion, working on his footwork and what he did not do and what he did not learn with under Bobby Petrino out of Louisville. And he's what he has gotten and what he has evolved into here in the National Football League. And it's really unbelievable. And I agree with you. I mean, there's two storylines. We'll get to the Rams here in just a second. For the Baltimore Ravens, though, they're right there. I mean, that 49er-Raven matchup is going to be unbelievable.
Oh,
I mean, that could be a Super Bowl preview here moving forward that we get this. And maybe we see that once again in the month of February because those are the two probably best teams right now in the NFC and the AFC respectively. The threat to the New England Patriots and the AFC is real. They've already beaten the Patriots in the regular season. And trying to slow that Baltimore Raven offense down is easier said than done because of what he can do with his legs. He's not taking the unnecessary hits like a Robert Griffin III did, his teammate and backup quarterback when he was a member of the Washington Redskins. The accuracy of his throws, he's making all the pinpoint throws. He's got game breakers at the wide receiver position like in Hollywood Brown. Mm. There's nothing not to like about what the Ravens are doing offensively right now.
No, they are super exciting. And you touched on that matchup that we're going to get next for the Ravens against the Niners, and it could be a Super Bowl preview. And I want to ask you a quick question on this, kind of not off topic, which is maybe a little off topic. I want to get your thoughts. I don't want to see this happen now. I'd rather see them play the Niners if it ends up happening. So I don't want to see a preview. I don't want this to happen now. You want to see? I mean,
it doesn't bother me.
It doesn't bother you.
No, it doesn't.
I'd rather not see it.
Well, we might never get it.
Well, I know, but I'm just
there's
saying.
There's no guarantees we get it.
No,
I
of
mean,
course.
I'd rather get the guarantee of seeing it than hope to get it. I mean, if you're telling me, you know, we're guaranteed going to get Ravens and 49ers, then I agree with you. I'd rather not see in the regular season. But I don't know.
No, we don't know. I'm just saying, like, you know how it is. Like, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
I remember watching Giants and Broncos, you know, when you want to go way back when. Mm. I mean, I was at Giants-Broncos regular season mid-80s before they met in Pasadena in the Super Bowl. And that was a hell of a game. George Martin had a pick
George
six.
Martin.
Remember George Martin?
I do remember George
Martin. He had
Martin.
An interception return for a touchdown that game. That was the old Giants stadium. I was there with my dad. And,
that's cool.
And stuff like that. And I remember watching that game. And it didn't kind of hurt what I saw in the regular season. I thought the Broncos were going to win the game when they took on the Giants of Pasadena, and then Phil Simms did his MVP thing, and it was unbelievable. McConkey and Bavaro and Zeke Mowat and
Zeke
everything.
Moore. I remember all those guys.
So the Giants end up winning that game in Pasadena.
When you would go to those Giant games, were you wearing your Redskin garb?
No.
You weren't? No?
No, when they took on the Redskins,
no,
I did.
Yeah, but still, you know, I just thought maybe you were wearing it, even though you weren't playing the Redskins.
No.
You know what I mean? Some people do that.
I get it. Yeah, no, I did not.
Over in the Giants Stadium.
You know what? But I'll tell
back
you,
in the day, that was a big rivalry, Giants
It was
and
a big
Redskins,
rivalry.
Yeah.
You know what? But you know what, Taz, you know what was interesting? They left kids alone.
Yeah, well, how old were you?
I was like 14, 15 years old.
Oh, all right.
They leave kids alone.
Well, you can get a kid who's a Giant fan that's 14 and maybe wants to knuckle up. You never know.
Well, you're not going to do that. Come on. No one's fighting with kids. But no, the point being is that it was also a little bit of a more of an older school crowd, too.
Right, true.
At that stage, you know, it was like kind of before you had the personal seat licenses and people were priced out and everything. It was kind of, we sat with, you know, the group of people that we sat with, it was, you know, you knew the people that were around you.
Right.
And they didn't really, but, you know, no one really.
If your dad had season tickets?
No. It was a family member
with season tickets.
So,
well, that's different. Then you know, you do know all the people around.
They had season tickets, and we'd go to like two or three games a year.
Nice. I thought you were rocking your Rigo jersey or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. Walking in right. Yeah. I remember, though, when I would wear the Redskin thing, people would be like, even the old school guys would be like, get out of here with that
kid.
Get out of here. What are you doing? And they'd be like, hey, Dad, what, do you teach your son improperly? No one wears Redskin gear around here. What are you doing?
Yeah, your dad would get ridiculed.
Yeah, my dad would be like, what are you doing? How do you raise a kid that's a Redskin fan?
What'd you do with that kid?
Yeah, right, exactly right. But my point, if you told me we're going to get 49ers Ravens in the Super Bowl, I guarantee it. If there was one way to guarantee it, I agree with you. I wouldn't want to see it in the regular season.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
That's a fair assessment. But I'll tell you this, the Ravens threat is real. I mean, what they're doing right now is unbelievable. They are, their ability to run the football, Taz, it's college-like.
Yeah.
There are not guys that are within like 7-8 yards of them when they're breaking from the line of scrimmage. They're getting 8-10 yards per
chunks of yards. And you're going against some of the better defensive coordinators in football here.
Last night was Wade Phillips.
It just made him look like a punk. I mean, you beat Bill Belichick's Patriots 37-20.
Carroll, the Seahawks,
right? Pete Carroll. I mean, come on. Like, these are legitimate defenses. Like, these are real, real guys that are running these defenses. I don't know, man. It really is. It feels like it just came out of nowhere this year. We saw the glimpses of awesomeness out of Lamar Jackson last year. But what Ingram's doing right now, what the O-line's doing, the adjustments they're making, they are, this year anyway, they are going to be tough to stop. Because, I mean, I'm curious to see, once they knuckle up again with the Patriots, because if and when it happens, the AFC Championship, because I want to see now the second time around that the team plays them, the adjustments some of these defenses make. That's what I want to see.
No, it's a fair point. That's a fair point. But think, you know, you watch and we think about 45-6, and you say, well, how do you get out? Sometimes it can get out of whack, and it won't be that big of a statistical, you know, variation or difference, right? The Ravens last night ran for 285 yards as a team. How many teams in the NFL you see running for 200? They're averaging over 200 yards a game on the ground as a team through now going into week 13 test.
Todd Gurley.
They held the football for nearly 40 minutes last night. Do you realize the Los Angeles Rams in the third quarter last night had the football offensively for 59 seconds?
Dude, that's insane.
Think about that.
It's nuts.
In the third quarter last night in that game, the Los Angeles Rams had the football for 59 seconds, and that was it.
You can't make it up.
That's like, me taking on some super champion in John Madden and getting utterly dominated.
In the Madden game.
I haven't played video games in years. That's what it almost seemed like last night watching that game.
Were you good at Madden?
I was okay. I wasn't.
Dude, you know, I won a couple Super Bowls. You know that.
I know that. I know.
With the Ravens.
I know.
You Todd Heap was my guy.
Todd
Heap. He made every play. Yeah.
Arizona State.
Yeah, he was my tie. Yeah. I ran a waggle play. Oh, I had the same play all the time. I'd love to play you in Madden.
I'm sure you'd beat me.
I'm really good.
I'm sure you are. I haven't played Madden in years. But,
me neither, but I'm still good.
But that's my point. My point being is last night was just a complete utter domination.
I know. It really was. I mean, Gurley, you figure with all the stars that are on this Rams team, you got your quarterback coming off the big contract, all this stuff, you know. Goff, who, you know, last year showed a lot of signs of being really legit. That's hence why they gave him all this money. You got Cooks, you got Gurley. I mean, you got Woods. Man, it's just like, you know, Gurley had 22 yards rushing. You know what I mean?
That's it.
I Todd Gurley.
That's it.
Like, you know, it's crazy. Time of possession. Look at the time of possession, how lopsided it is.
I know.
It's craziness, man. Like, so, and they were on the road. You know, the Ravens are on the road. I mean, time possession was, let's just call it 40 minutes compared to 20 minutes. That's what it was, round and off. A couple seconds to spare. That's a they doubled them up.
And then you get to what's wrong with the Rams, Taz. You know, what is right now wrong with the Los Angeles Rams? They are an underwhelming 6-5 team. They've mortgaged their entire future. They don't have a first-round draft choice for years with all the trades that they have made to try and leverage this season to get back to the Super Bowl and win it. Last year, you saw them get dominated in the Super Bowl. That offense couldn't do exactly what they've done. The offense has not looked nearly as dynamic. Goff has struggled this year. They got Cooks back. It didn't really factor in all that much. The offensive line has been an issue. You look at this Ram team. What has gone wrong with Sean McVay, the boy genius in the Los Angeles Rams?
Yeah, it's that's a serious question right there, because it's weird, man. It's like, he just, last year, as you know, we were sitting here singing his praises like crazy too. Everybody was just going off about how great of a coach he is, and this team and everything they've done, and we see guys getting jobs because they were friends with him, like I said at the top of the show here today. And now it's just like, his quarterback, Goff, he's calling timeouts because he can't read what they're doing defensively. He's got to give them, he's got to change plays. Goff was confused.
He was.
More than once.
And he just got paid.
I know. It was in a Super Bowl. He was confused, completely confused. And how about Aaron Donald? I mean, it's a great defensive player. I mean, they figured him out. They doubled him up a lot. I know that. But this guy gets double teamed all the time. I mean, you're in a great interior lineman, a great defensive lineman, a defensive player like that, and you're near or on the line of scrimmage, you're going to get double teamed. They're going to figure that out. But this guy's used to that. He's used to splitting doubles. There's certain techniques you work at to split a double. And he's strong and he's athletic. He's muscular. I'll tell you what, I don't think he made like a huge difference in anything. He had one tackle.
But one tackle. Right. And I don't disagree with you about Donald. But when I thought about the Rams, it was about a year ago, right? They were playing the Kansas City Chiefs, and that was a 54-51 final, right? I mean, it was one of the great games year. It was out in Los Angeles. They moved it from Mexico City because of the turf. And, you know, everyone went goo goo gaga. And Everett, Gerald Everett with the game-winning touchdown grab for the Los Angeles Rams. It was really an unbelievable game a year ago. Now, a year later, they're getting dominated at home in Los Angeles by the Baltimore Ravens 45-6. Jared Goff hasn't thrown a touchdown pass in three games.
The month of November, dude. He didn't throw a touchdown the whole month.
It's remarkable where this offense is right now and what has happened with the Los Angeles Rams. And, you know, has the NFL done their due diligence and they've got a book on how to defend what Sean McVay and that offense is going to do? Is it a case of the regression of Jared Goff? Is it a case of a little bit of Super Bowl hangover? Is it a combination of all three?
I don't have the answer, man, but I'll tell you, right? They showed glimpses this year, a little bit here and there, excuse me, of being, you know, a good team. You know, they did. Early in the year, they beat New Orleans. Okay,
yep.
They beat New Orleans, and they beat them 27-9. And that was, you know, Breeze was playing, everybody was healthy, everybody was good. Second game of the season, to top it off, the first game of the season, they beat Carolina. They barely beat them, but they beat Carolina on the road. I mean, and what else did they have? They beat the Browns at in Cleveland early on. You know, they've had some
Falcons,
decent wins.
Right.
So the Falcons, right.
Bengals,
so,
Bears.
And the Bears. The Bear victory a couple of weeks ago was a big victory, you know, so over a good defense. There's inconsistencies to your point, Moose. You know, and I don't know, man. I think a lot of times it's that these defensive position coaches and defensive coordinators, these guys live, as you know, these guys live watching tape.
Yeah.
They watch tape and they figure these guys out. That's my only. I mean, I never played in the NFL, right? That's my only thought on how it's changed from years ago. How teams figure guys out and they scheme so quick now. They could do it within a week or two because of, I think, technology helps them break down plays and players.
Yeah.
I don't think enough people talk about that, but I really do think the advancement of technology and smart coaches, of course, and talented players, plays in. I do think that's it. They figured them out.
Yeah. And you know, I don't think you're wholeheartedly wrong. I do think that Goff is a little regressed a little bit.
I agree with that.
You know,
I
don't think there's been you mentioned in terms of defenses to figure out what McVay wants to do offensively, and there's been no adjustment from Sean McVay. And let's also look at it. I mean, Todd Gurley looks old.
But yeah, man.
I mean, there is no explosion. Dealing with the arthritis in that knee Taz.
Yeah.
That is a bad contract now on the hands for the Los Angeles Rams because it's unfortunate. He's still a very, very young man. He's not old by any stretch of the imagination. Even in NFL terms, he's not old. He looks old. And that's the problem when you look at an athlete that looks old, even though he's not.
He's 25 years old.
Yeah. But Taz.
No, you're not wrong.
He looks like when he's running, he looks like he's 31, 32 years.
Yeah,
I mean, I'll tell you, Adrian Peterson's got more burst with the Washington Redskins than Todd Gurley does right now.
You are spot on. You're correct, especially when he plays against my Bills.
Yeah, he ran hard. Yeah, but that's what I mean, and that is looking like a god awful contract right now.
Yeah,
they can't run it like they used to. And Taz, they can't. We talked about it yesterday with the San Francisco 49ers. Here's the other thing with the Rams, offensive line. They can't move people.
No, they can't. They got major issues on that line. For sure, as opposed to the team they played last night, that freaking Ravens offensive line is
wow. And the Ravens lost their center
during the game. The other kid comes in and everything's
fine. Still, nothing's wrong.
Yeah, I don't know.
A pure rookie steps in and there's no problem whatsoever. Yeah,
let's go.
I know.
That's unbelievable.
How about that scene where they were gonna punt? Then you get the 5-yard penalty. 12 men on the field for the Rams. It's 4th and 4. They're going to attempt a Tucker field goal. Lamar Jackson runs on the field and basically says, "We're going for it." Harbaugh calls a timeout. They go for it, and they have like a 13-yard completion.
Unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
Yes, it's amazing.
It's crazy. It's fun to watch, I'll tell you that. Taz of the Moose with you on this Tuesday morning. We're just getting going. What's your take? Ravens, most dominant team in the NFL right now, or do you believe the little San Francisco 49ers, and what the hell's gone wrong with the Los Angeles Rams? That and more next. It's Taz and the Moose with you, CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance.
Yeah, we're talking a lot about the Ravens and everything that they did last night. Their dominance. Let's go out to Jersey and talk to our friend John. Listening on
radio.com. He is John from Jersey.
What's up, John?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
John, what's up?
Good morning.
How you doing?
Hey, look, I mean, excuse me. What more can you say about the Ravens? The Ravens are just playing right now clearly the best team in the NFL, I think. I mean, the only thing I would say as a Pats fan is I would hope maybe they're peaking a little too early. I mean, because, look, they're clearly playing at a at a top level right now. Can they keep playing this well for another 2 months would be the only question I'd have with the Ravens.
I don't know, man. I don't see them slowing down, John.
Well,
I really don't.
You've seen other teams, though, peak, you know, a little bit too early, and then all of a sudden they lose their edge or an injury happens here or there. I mean, it's fair. I think that's what you're holding out hope for right now because we saw the matchup in the regular season. There's issues with that Patriots offense. We know that. And defensively, the Pats didn't really have any answers. Now, maybe they'll have some solutions because they'll see them for a second time. But I think that's what you're hoping for right now because the Ravens are playing the best football in the NFL.
Oh, my God, absolutely. And, I mean, this week against the Niners is going to be just a great game.
Oh, I can't wait for that game.
I mean, as well as the Ravens are playing, the Niners are playing that well, too. But, I mean, it's funny you said that, Moose, about Barry Switzer as a kid. I used to love watching Oklahoma play. And it would just be, you know, they just run over you. And you knew they were going to run it. It wasn't – there was no trickery. There was, you knew they were going to run the ball 70 times. Yeah. But you knew you couldn't stop them either. And that's almost like how the Ravens are.
Yeah.
And you just don't see that in the NFL. Or, you know, Taz, you talked about how these coordinators, that's all they do is – live, breathe,
sure,
you know,
break it down every second.
So, like, it's like the Ravens are lining up. We're going to run it, and guess what?
Yeah,
you can't stop us.
Well, the thing too is, like, you know, Lamar Jackson, as we all know, right? He's just when you watch him run, he's just extremely unpredictable because you know it's all instinctual what he's doing, and then combine that with his insane ability and athleticism and his the way he explodes and his quick decision, his vision. He's got everything that you need to be a mega star. He's got it, and he shows it. And but the key is unpredictability on the field. He doesn't know where he's going to go when he starts moving around with the football. He doesn't know. And so how the hell can the defense know? They don't know.
Right. Oh, and just think, and you kind of touched on it before, just think how quick things change in the NFL. Where last year, Sean McVay, like you said, if you even touched him, if you were in the same room.
Oh, Midas touch. Midas touch.
Right, you got a job as a coach. And also, you remember it was last year, right? It wasn't Harbaugh on the way out at Baltimore?
Yes, he was.
Right? That's right, yeah.
I mean, there were rumors the Jets were going to take him. It was almost a foregone conclusion that he was going to be gone. And here, a year later, the Ravens arguably are the favorite for the Super Bowl. And McVay is like, eh.
You know? You're not wrong. I mean, John, you're dead on correct about that, and thanks a lot for the call.
Thanks, John.
You know, Harbaugh, you know, it's amazing what a year does. Where we were a year ago with Harbaugh and where we are right now. Ravens this week, 4-point favorite. That's a 1 o'clock game. That should be a late game.
Oh, God, yeah,
That should be a late game. That is a 1 o'clock kick down at M&T Bank Stadium down in Baltimore, Maryland. That should be a late game.
It's a Fox game, too, so... My boy Aikman will be on the call with my other friend Joe Buck. So.
Ravens Niners, that's going to be a good one.
Yeah, that's going to be good stuff. You're right, it should be a late game. Andrew Bogus just waiting to talk.
Yes, Andrew, good morning.
He's here. Now he wants to say something about that
game. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Yeah, what do you want to say about the game?
I was going to tell you why it's not a late game.
Oh, here we go. He's got all the answers, Moose.
Well, Peter King had all the answers. I read this on the internet yesterday.
Just give yourself credit.
It's a CBS doubleheader day, so they can't put it in the late window. At the 4 o'clock window. Mm. And then the Sunday night game is Texans Patriots, and NBC is not going to flex out of the Patriots in primetime.
I knew all of that. I just didn't want to say it.
Stuck. It
right,
should be.
Because the nation wants to watch Patriots Texans.
Yeah, because, oh, of course. And the Patriots, well, please. That's because.
Why flex out of that for the game of the two best teams in the NFL right now?
Well, they want the Boston market.
My blood pressure's going up because once I hear Patriots and NBC, it's a match made in heaven because it never ends. They're always, always. Oh, and then you got to hear Rodney Harrison before the game just be a complete flag waver for his former team and hating on everybody else. He hated on the Bills, Rodney Harrison. The great outing Josh Allen had, they were putting him over in the studio show. And Sims, what's his name? Phil Sims' son. Chris Sims? Chris Sims called him out to his face right there. He said, "You're a hater." He goes, "You're a hater." Harrison goes, "I'm not a hater. You're a Bills hater," he tells him. Yeah, it was great.
I think it was Harrison who said Josh Allen should have slid on the play in the first meeting when he got hit.
Yeah, he did. Dude, he's a total hit. He's buddies with Belichick. He's buddies with Brady. And that's great. Don't bring your agenda into the NBC studio, Mr. Harrison.
Man, I know you were a great pregame.
God,
dude, I told you the other day, stop watching them.
You know obsessed, more about bro. The pregame shows.
I'm locked in.
I mean, really... you're Gronk and Harrison. You're right. giving us play-by-play of what guys are saying.
I know, it's weird.
Conversations.
It's weird.
I mean, strange. You are locked in.
I might be the only guy in sports radio who does that. I'm obsessed with them. I really am. No, I never realized that's why I work here.
I think you're the most... I think you are... I've never worked with anybody that's more obsessed with pregame shows than you.
And then by the second quarter of the game, you're out.
Yeah, you're out. Right.
I'm done. Too
you transition to something else. Right.
Something else.
You're watching Japanese wrestling. Yeah. But then when halftime rolls around, you're locked in.
I am. I'm back. I'm back.
You're like, oh, my God. That's a terrible tease by Kurt Menefee.
It's funny, but it's true. I didn't realize. I don't try to be like that, but I guess I am.
You were locked into those
pregames.
I mean, we're getting conversations between Sims and Harrison.
From months ago.
I don't even think Rodney Harrison's family remembers.
I know. I remember the whole thing. That was yesterday. Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know. Look, man, I would want that game. I think that game should be on a Sunday night. Who cares about putting the Patriots on NBC? They always get the prime time game.
But I think that would be, I'm curious what the Monday night rating was last night.
Well, it'll come out this afternoon, probably. That's when
not much of a game.
Yeah, it's probably good from like 8:30 to 9.
Yeah,
after
right.
After that.
It's probably good for Monday night Raw. Raw had a lot of good wrestling on it, like just matches, like long matches.
It was good matches.
It was good matches. Okay. Yeah, a lot of good matches. And so maybe it helped their rating. Who knows?
Maybe it did. I mean, listen, if you were last night, that game was over.
Yeah.
I mean, it was over quick.
Yep.
It was over. The second quarter, that game was over. So you were looking for something else to watch, very similar to the Sunday night game.
But you feel like the Patriots are always on NBC on a night game.
Yeah, but I get it. It's Brady, it's Belichick, and it's the Boston market. I get it. I'd rather have for the pure football fan though, they want to see Ravens Niners.
You're damn
right. And that game deserves more of a stage.
East Coast, West Coast.
That 1 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon. That deserves. It's unfortunate that Fox doesn't have the doubleheader. It's a CBS doubleheader. That game deserves to be at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
So they could flex out of it. There's a way to. That NBC can get out. What are you saying with the flex?
Well, they
could
have. They had the windows closed. Now they can't do it now.
You happen to know how far out they can do something like that?
It's 10 days.
Yeah. Oh, really?
They would have said yesterday for next Sunday.
Correct.
Wow. And yeah, they probably should have done that.
And then there are rules too.
There's only so many amount of times I think it's that you could be on a night game.
Yeah, and Fox and CBS.
Well, I think the Patriots have killed that rule because they're on every week. On the main show, on NBC, every week. I feel like I'm
right, but they play the averages. So they play the averages that the Patriots, right? That there's not going to be any kind of thing. There's not going to be a division on the line late, so they exhaust them early.
And then Al Michaels is going to be on the Belichick thing, just kissing his ass. It's unbelievable. And then Collins,
you're a little hypersensitive to the Pats.
Oh
we can admit
God,
that.
It's so
a little hypersensitive.
It really is friggin' annoying.
I don't want to pick up on Al Michaels right now.
No, Al Michaels. I mean, we get the gambling references every second. Big Al. We know you love the ponies. We know you love to.
Yeah, it's great.
You know, we understand.
Big hockey guy.
It's great. I know. Big Miracle on Ice. Oh my God, a Miracle on Ice. Whatever he said, I know it was amazing. Everything's the same thing. That was the line, right, Andrew?
Imagine not holding grudges.
No, but really.
1980 still bothers you.
Hey, happy Tuesday, everybody. Yeah. Thanksgiving week.
You know what? Just stop when America beat the Soviet Union.
I'm glad America won. I'm sick of hearing 55 years later about Al Michaels. Do you believe in miracles? Shut up.
Oh, embracing history.
Do you believe it? Was that the line?
What was the line? Is he British?
I mean...
I don't think it was, do you believe in miracles?
Do you believe in bloody miracles, mate?
That was the Al Michaels of the Revolution.
Yeah, right.
I'm calling that.
Right. Here comes Paul Revere.
I can't do impersonations.
Here comes Paul Revere, the Redcoats.
Here it is.
You believe in miracles?
That's the line. He don't even sound like Al Michaels because that was 75 years ago.
He was like 11 years old.
The guy is 6 years old. I mean, he was 6 years old when he called it. Now he's 120. Enough, Al Michaels. Oh. Go away. I got to be careful with the hot takes on these announcers. Some people out of fans, when they get sensitive to it. You're right there.
No, nostrils. My nose settled into my coat. My cold settled it right in my nose.
Well, you were healthy for a day and a half. Now you're back to being sick
fun.
Again. Yeah, I know.
What's going on,
The guy takes a sick day. Hold on a second.
That was good.
The guy takes a sick day, right, because he deserved to take this sick day. He takes a sick day, and no one around here, it's no problem. Oh, the guy's out sick. I take a sick day, Andrew, and it's like It's news breaking. Like, everyone's talking about it in the newsroom.
Now
I get people, oh, you okay? You back? Leave my ass alone. Okay? Everybody has sick day. Why is it when I take a sick day, people care?
It was back to back.
Okay, so what?
And it came out of nowhere. Moose needed to be in quarantine last week.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's a good point.
Came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
You're telling me that someone can't eat a rancid hot dog? And next thing you know, I'm not telling you what I ate. And next thing you know, their stomach, they have gut rot.
And
they have a blowout.
Anything can happen. Gross. It just was a case that there was a buildup. Yours just came out of nowhere. Right. Everyone could get sick at any time.
Thank you, sir. That's my point. You're kind of contradicting your own point. You're saying it came out of nowhere, but then you're saying anybody can sick at any time.
Andrew said it came out of nowhere.
No,
Moose was here for a week on his deathbed. Stayed home. So
I'm calm.
Hope Moose is okay. You just vanished for 3 days, and we were worried, but then we knew that you were all right.
Yeah, I should have put some jazz on in the car and meditate.
Relax a little bit.
If we thought that you'd respond to a text about how you were feeling, maybe somebody would have sent it, but we figured it would just
all of a sudden get sick out of nowhere.
Well, it was like 4 weeks. It was 4 weeks ago you were sick. You're healthy now.
Healthy as a horse. But maybe I'll be sick. Well, I'm healthy for now until the guy next to me is snot rocking all over the place.
I'm trying to clear my nostrils.
Snot rags again.
I got to get one of those Vicks things. Stick up my nose, clear out the sinuses.
You got to get a neti pot. There we go.
Yeah, that's the drain gimmick.
Yeah.
You do it right over the toilet bowl.
Sink.
Sink will work.
Sink it.
Sink's fine.
Yeah, toilet bowl. If you want to add a degree of difficulty or danger, go ahead.
Just take a knee and blow your nostrils out.
A whole other set of problems.
Yeah, it's like, you know what? I'm just saying. Look, before we get to
everyone's out for you. Yes, everyone's out.
No, because it's ridiculous. I thought about today on the drive.
You get no respect.
Melusis takes the freaking day off and nobody says a word.
We sent them flowers. Calm down.
No, but nobody makes a big deal out of it.
What do you mean?
I got emails from the bosses. This is last second. I can't get sick. I'm not allowed to get sick over here.
No.
Is that what it is?
No, I think people didn't believe you were sick.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice that they didn't believe I was sick. How nice of that
I'm joking.
To think there's some kind of collusion in my mind.
It's a sick out.
Fake sickness.
For video. Yeah.
And hypothetically.
Right.
Yeah. Hypothetically.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say I did fake a sickness.
Right.
Hypothetically.
Right.
Would I be the first person in the world to ever do that in a workplace?
Of course not.
No. Hypothetically, if I did that, there is no way I'd be the first person here that faked a sick day, including the bosses. The hell with that.
No, that boss is never sick.
Listen, I'm just letting you know.
You okay, Moose?
Has anybody asked you recently
if you're alright?
Is he okay? I'm about to have a heart attack. You're asking if he's okay.
Yeah.
My blood pressure's through the roof.
Why?
I can't even see straight right now. I'm so angry.
Why? What are you angry about?
I'm angry about you with the nose. I'm angry about that you take a sick day, nobody cares. And then you imply that I'm faking a sickness.
I didn't imply I was a joke. Will you relax?
Very not a nice joke. It's not nice to
do
that.
Let me read sports news. Sit
back and relax. My stomach was blown out. I had major problems.
Listen,
sitting on a bowl.
Here's the word for you.
Want me to take pictures next time?
No.
You want me to take pictures next time?
Decaf coffee. Go ahead, Bogus.
I'll take pictures.
Thank you, Moose.
Go ahead. I'm not done. I'll take pictures of the bowl.
I'll pass.
All right, got Andrew.
Here's your report. It is sponsored by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. The onslaught began almost immediately in L.A.
Andrews comes in motion to the right. Jackson wants to throw. Fires across the middle. Touchdown, Hollywood Brown! And how fitting that Hollywood scores the first points in L.A.
Jerry Sandusky on Ravens Radio. Hollywood Brown caught another TD pass from Lamar Jackson. Baltimore scored on its first six possessions. The first team to do that since the Saints 11 years ago. Five of those touchdowns off the right arm of Jackson. As for the Ravens' D, the Rams mustered just 111 yards through three quarters. Never reached the end zone. It was a 45-6 shaming at the Coliseum on Monday Night Football. John Harbaugh's team is 9-2, but only 9-2.
There is something special here, but you know what? There's nobody crowned in November. You know, so we have a lot of work to do.
His Ravens beat the Texans by 34 two Sundays ago, 39 points last night. No team ever before has had back-to-back blowouts like that against winning teams. The Bengals are putting their winless season in jeopardy by returning to Andy Dalton under center. He'll start Sunday against the Jets while rookie Ryan Finley returns to the clipboard. Over three starts, Finley completed just 47% of his passes, committed 5 turnovers. Joel Embiid took 11 shots and 3 free throws last night in Toronto. He made none of them, so he was scoreless for the first time in his NBA career.
I would have never thought I would be here, you know, talking about 0 points in an NBA game, but it is what it is. Some nights you make shots, some nights you don't. Some nights you're hot, some nights you're cold.
Not surprisingly, the Sixers lost in Toronto 101-96. 8-game win streak.
I'm very insulted. I'm just letting you know. I'm very angry. Very angry.
Okay, for the Lakers
too.
And the Bucks, LA, a 114-104 W in San Antonio. LeBron posted 33 points and 13 assists. Giannis scored 50 in Milwaukee's 122-118 home win over Utah. College Hoops, number 4, Kansas, took down the host from Chaminade, 93-63, on night 1 of the Maui Invitational. And on ice, the Islanders' 17-game point streak ended in Anaheim 3-0. That's their first regulation loss since October 11th. Guys,
that was my birthday, by the way, October 11th, and the Islanders are still
happy
great.
Birthday.
It don't matter.
There you go.
My birthday was a month ago. You don't have to wish me happy birthday, guys. It was a month ago. You don't have to curry favor with me. I'm mad at both of you, and I'm really mad at you, Moose.
Why? For what?
I'm really mad at you. I'm mad at Andrew. It's not my birthday. My birthday's in friggin' October.
Can't play
Stop
this.
You
owe somebody money.
What is going on?
You
could owe somebody money. What was that?
Birthday.
It's my birthday was in October.
Well, you don't like birthdays. Shut this off. He doesn't appreciate it.
My birthday was a month ago. What are we doing? You didn't wish me happy birthday a month ago.
No, I refuse. You
okay,
don't like
I don't like birthday.
Birthdays.
I don't want to say good morning. I don't want to say good night.
Right.
I don't want to say goodbye. I don't want to say nothing. I don't want small talk, BS, and I don't want people to imply that I'm not allowed to be sick 2 days in a row.
No, you can be sick all you want.
And that wasn't right.
Pete Rowland.
That was not right. Yeah, Pete Rowland. The quarterback said Rowland. That wasn't right by either of you people.
I didn't imply anything.
You speak for the company, I guess.
That's why everybody was weird.
That's why everybody was weird when I was sick for 2 days.
Am I the only guy who gets sick for two days? I mean, you're a smart guy. I think you can infer that. I'm not jumping out on any kind of
You've never been sick 2 days in a row.
Of course I have.
The question is, I've been out two days in a row. Right.
What does that mean? I'm confused. What do you mean?
There's a difference. I've been sick 2 days in a row. Last week I was sick 5 days in a row. I missed one day.
Mm-hmm.
You want to look at my ratio over 2 years? Do you want to look at my ratio?
Hot shot.
Do you want to look at my sick day ratio?
I think we're all a little sick.
Would you like to look at my ratio? Because I have
sick day ratio.
My ratio compared to days that I'm in here working. You want to look at my ratio? I have the ratio. I'll tweet it out.
Sure, tweet out the ratio.
It's nobody's business what the ratio is.
Right, there you go. Thank you, Rock.
That's right.
It's Taz, it's Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, Player of the Week is brought to you by Grainger. Let's take a look at the one who got it done. This week it's Lamar Jackson. Jackson passed for 5 touchdowns as the Ravens crushed the Rams 45-6 Monday Night Football. In L.A., he threw for 169 yards and added 95 yards on the ground as Baltimore won its 7th in a row to improve to 9-2. Player of the Week was brought to you by Grainger. Grainger's got your back when it comes to the safety and industrial supplies that keep your facility running. Get what you need when you need it at Grainger.com. A.J. Hawk is going to join Taz and myself coming your way. Top of hour number 2, Taz. And you know, one of the teams, I believe at the end of his career, A.J. Hawk played for the Cincinnati Bengals after he was done with the Green Bay Packers. The Bengals decided to go back to Andy Dalton. Zach Taylor, the Bengals and Jets are playing this week, and it was announced yesterday that Finley, the rookie quarterback, is no longer their starter after, 3 starts for him. Maybe gain a little bit of a feel in terms of what he is as a signal caller before next April's NFL draft and get him a little bit of experience in the National Football League. And now they go back to Andy Dalton as their starting quarterback. Why do you think Zach Taylor and the Bengals made that kind of switch?
It's a little idiotic, in my opinion. You know, why wouldn't you just let the younger kid have at it? Andy Dalton is definitely in the twilight of his career, at least in Cincinnati he is. I mean, and you know, now this kid Finley, It's a bad look for him. I mean, it's a bad look, you know, coming out of North Carolina State, and he's a rookie, and it's like, you know, you have a chance to, you know, let him just get his sea legs under him. You're a winless football team, so you don't have too much to lose. It's just my opinion. Like, I'm thinking, what the hell? Just keep him there. Now, it just it's a bad look for him, for Finley, you know? For
right. It is. Now, he isn't exactly, you know, they're 0-11. Right. Is it a case of they look at the Jets as a winnable game? They feel like they want to win a game this year. Zach Taylor doesn't want to go winless in his first year as head coach. He realizes that Finley's not going to be the solution. They've learned all they could as an organization about what Finley potentially could be, so therefore roll back with Dalton, see if he can beat the Jets this week?
Yeah, I understand that, but if Dalton was good enough to win a football game in the NFL for you, then why'd you bench him?
I think
it's a rhetorical question.
I understand. Well, I think you did. Well, you what we just answered. I think you did it to try and gain
the young guy.
Learn a little bit about him.
Same thing with the Redskins with Haskins and all
correct.
That stuff.
Yeah, right. I mean, but obviously a lot more is expected of Haskins than Finley, because
right.
Haskins they invested a first round draft choice in. Sure. But you know, certainly. You know, you don't want to have a guy sitting on the bench that you know nothing about, right? And then address the quarterback's position and say they draft Joe Burrow, for argument's sake, with the number one overall pick.
Sure.
Then they figure out that Finley could actually play. Then you're wasting that first round. You know, if Finley's actually a really good prospect, then you wasted that number one overall pick. For argument's sake, now
right. you know
now,
I get that. I don't
disagree with you. I would have continued to roll with the rookie. I don't know why you need to go back to Dalton. I think maybe it's because it's a winnable game. Maybe it's a case of all right, Finley's gained 3 games of experience here. Let's put Dalton in against the Jets, and maybe we'll do what the Jets did with Sam Darnold last year. Remember, he was starting.
Right.
Sent him to the bench.
Yep.
Then you had McCown starting, and then they brought Darnold back in, and Darnold was a lot better. Maybe it's a case now of you had Finley getting a little experience.
Right.
Put Dalton in, then put Finley back in to close out the year and see if there's a marked improvement in this play.
Right. Well, I'll tell you this.
And
I agree. I understand what you're saying, but I'll tell you this. I know you're not saying this is a fact, but if you're Andy, if you are the Bengals, you're thinking you're just going to roll in and you're just going to play the Jets and that it's a winnable game for you. I don't know. They just came off of beating the daylights out of the Raiders, 34-3, and something's clicking a little bit here for the Jets. So they're sitting at 4-7. I don't know. I don't know if that's going to be such a situation where they could win that game. I don't care if it's Andy Dalton, Finley, or whoever. That Jets team looks pretty good, but. I don't know. I just think that if you got the young guy, once you start him, it could really affect a guy like Finley's confidence. You know, if you just now you bench him again, it's kind of a weird feel for the kid. That's all I'm saying. You know.
Oh, I don't disagree. I don't like the yo-yo effect of a guy in out in out. I don't disagree with that. And I'm not telling you that the Jets are beatable from Cincinnati. Bengals have played better as of late, right? They could have won on Oakland. We just saw the Raiders get destroyed by the Jets 34-3. They played well against the Steelers, and that was a winnable game. They lose that game 16-10, so it's not like they're losing all these games like the way that they lost to the Baltimore Ravens 49-13 or the way that the Jets beat the Oakland Raiders 34-3.
Right, and you have Finley at quarterback. And
correct.
So they're playing better.
Yeah.
You know, so, but now let's sit them. Okay. I don't know. I think it's a dumb move by Zach Taylor. And let's take a listen to Zach Taylor real quick here. Let's take a listen to him, why he decided to go back to Andy Dalton.
It's in the best interest of the football team right now to do this and get Andy back out there. And we're going to face some good defenses here these next couple weeks that present a lot of challenges and feel like he's going to give us an opportunity to win the game. And so that's the decision we settled on this morning.
They're going to lose, Zach.
Well, probably Jets, Browns, and Pats next 3 weeks for the Cincinnati Bengals. Maybe he felt like it was a case that he was going to do more damage than good, keeping Finley in the game.
You put him against the Ravens. That didn't go well.
Yeah, that did not. No, you're right about that. We'll chat with AJ Hawk. He'll join Taz and myself. We'll do that next. Hour down, 2 to play with us. We roll right up until 9. It's Taz and the Moose with you right here, CBS Sports Radio.